Father God, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you are you, and we are not. And God, we just ask that this morning as we come here this morning, as we gather, Lord, as we just come to spend time with you in your house, God, that you just fill this place. God, be with us in our lows. Lord, be with us in our highs. And God, as we continue on in our series that we're going through, Lord, I just ask that the things that are weighing on our heart, the things that are on our mind, the things that seem to be pulling and pulling and pulling, Lord, that you can just release those this morning, and we can just have a time in your word. God, fill this place. Be with us. And Lord, in everything we do, let us bring glory and honor to you. In your name we pray. Amen. I forgot to get a music stand, so I'm going to take Dave's. All right. Good morning, everybody. For those of you that don't know, I'm Pastor Josh, but I'm the other Pastor Josh. So if you're really confused, if you invited a friend and said, you really got to meet Pastor Josh, he's really good, that's not me. That's the other one. I am Pastor Josh, the children's and youth pastor. And so usually on Sunday mornings, I am down frantically getting things set up so that we can have a lot of fun, that we can entertain the kids. But not only entertain the kids, but we also, the biggest thing we want to do is create a safe environment where they get to learn God's word and not only just learn it, but know it, love it, and seek after him with all their hearts. And so, so that's what I do. Good morning and welcome to Faith Community Church. We have been in a study of going through our new covenant. This is your first week. We just changed our covenant slightly. That's not a big monumental thing that you should be like, gasp. We just changed some of the wording so that it could better represent the church that we are today. As the community looks at us, what do we do? A couple weeks ago, we talked about that we want to, in love, this is how we're going to be a church, and I'm not going to recap all of that because that would just be re-preaching that. But if you want to know what that is, go listen. The second one was in blessing. What do we want to be as a church? We want to be a church that blesses. We want to be a church that loves. And today we're going to be talking about in service, we will. And I find it convenient that Josh texted me and said, would you do this one? So we have about 90 sign-up sheets in the back before you leave. We're going to force you to sign up for something. No, that's not what we're going to do today. But I do want to pump or kind of plug this before I get started. If you are interested in our church whatsoever, and maybe you have some questions or something like that, the membership class is not so you can become a member today. The membership class is for information all about our church. It's an awesome class. If you get a chance, jump in there after the service. I'm not going to do this for the second service because they missed it. Boo, they slipped in. All right. With that being said, today we're going to be talking about service. And we're going to be taking a look at our main bullet points on that, but we're going to be taking a look at Scripture and what Scripture really says about us as serving, because honestly, from my perspective, a lot of believers, myself included, when it came to service, did it extremely unhealthy and did God at a disservice by serving in the ways that I served. And so if you guys brought a Bible this morning, I want you to open up to Romans 12. We're going to start in Romans 12, then we're going to jump to Thessalonians. I was going to say Thessalations, but that's not even a word. But we're going to be in Romans 12, 4 through 8. And the first thing is, as a church, as we find our identity as a body of believers, as people that say, I want to serve the Lord with my heart, my soul, my mind, and all of my strength, I'm bought in and I want to be part of the body of Christ that is active and moving. When we look at ourselves in that, the first point is we want to use our gifts, the Holy Spirit has given us, to glorify God and edify His church. And we're going to be looking, hopefully by this point you've gotten there, Romans 12, verse 6 starts, having gifts that differ according to the grace that has been given us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to your faith, if service in serving, the one who exhorts in exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And as we look at this, this is an easy list to say, okay, I'm a list person, if I'm going to have one of these skills, I got to find one of these skills. But we recognize that in writing this, as Paul is writing this to the church in Rome, he's trying to lay out this perfect image of God's body, Christ's body, the church. And in that, he's trying to get us to understand that what I like to call unity, but not just unity, but there's unity and diversity. As the church, we are all one body. We're all working and moving. We're all active ingredients in this whole proportion that we're doing. But we're diverse. If we look around, we recognize that there's no two, well, there are two Joshes here, but there's not two of you here. And we recognize that as we look at God's word, that God says that we are a masterpiece, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made us in his image, in his likeness, but we are uniquely made. And we have to recognize that when it comes to service, that not everyone fits everywhere. And I love it when people come and say, hey, where do you guys have a need? Because I always kind of step back and go, well, it's not about the need we have. We want to really find out where you're gifted. And so we recognize that we all have been given gifts. Not all of us have the same gifts. Some of us have more gifts. Some of us have less gifts. That doesn't make us less valuable or more valuable. But Paul is saying the Spirit has given us gifts. Now, this is a really good point, because when we recognize that the Spirit gives gifts, is a gift something that we have gotten without the Spirit? Sorry, I'm used to talking to students. Is the gift something that the Spirit has given us, or is that something that we got on our own? Oh, that's going to be long. Thank you. No, sorry. Me and you, man. We'll get through this, Tyler. All right. It's something the Spirit gives us, which means that by the grace we've been given gifts as well. And that means that if you are looking at somebody and comparing yourself to them, that's not fair. God has given you a gift that only you or other people similar to you have, that you can contribute in a miraculous way. I always explain this to volunteers, is that if you're serving in a ministry and it feels like you're going to work and it's terrible, you're in the wrong spot. God has given you a gift that you can build the church up with, and it's given to us. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12:11, it's given to us as he wills. God is the one who gives the gifts. When we look at servanthood, it's not about just punching a time clock and trying to get as many hours in as we can. It's about God forming us to be in a spot for his glory. The Greek word for this, and I don't want you to assume that I know Greek, but the Greek word for this is charismata, a gift of grace. I love that phraseology because it recognizes that as human beings, when we recognize where our gifts come from, oftentimes the better we get at things, we tend to get a little more prideful about it. I know that's myself included. And it's easy to all of a sudden recognize that I am the only one that can do this. This is what I consider the kryptonite in service. The kryptonite in ministries as well, as we've seen leaders in the church in the last 10 years that have gotten this mentality that it's all about me. And that because I'm so gifted, my church is going to rise above all the other churches. And we've seen these massive falls from some just really reputable names and the hurt that has caused to our church. When we look at service, the first thing we need to recognize is that God has given each of us gifts from the Holy Spirit. It is something that is in you that is just waiting to serve God's church. But those gifts are not to glorify ourselves. Those gifts are not to make everybody go, wow, no one else could do it as good as them. When we get ourselves to that point, it's dangerous to recognize where we've brought ourselves, because then other people say, oh, that ministry, they got it. Oh, they have a Josh, they're fine, I'm going to go serve somewhere else. But the reality is that if we are going to be the church's longevity is until Christ comes back, not until that leader falls. And our goal as a church is to not only serve, but to be raising up other leaders in the church and raising up other people to actively be serving in these areas, to find areas that God has gifted them and water them and grow them into the leaders that God has created them to be. It is not about punching a card. This is about everything we can do, taking what God has given us and bringing the glory all to God. And what do we then do with those gifts? It mentions prophecy. It mentions giving. It mentions teaching. It mentions exhortation, which is just acting out your faith. I always made the joke because my mom was a teacher that those that can't teach, or those that can't do, teach. Which is funny now because I teach students all the time, so it's kind of wild. But that's the difference between teaching and exhortation. And it's interesting when we look at that, because if we evaluate ourselves, not the people around us, but we just evaluate ourselves, and we say, where do I sit in this? If we are just only taking in teaching, that's what we as shepherds call fat sheep. You're somebody that's sitting in the pews and only just, I'm just coming for the word. I'm just coming to take. I'm just coming to do. And you're only allowing the teaching to sit in you and not do anything. But then the opposite of that is if you're an exhortation only. And a lot of the times we see this in new believers that are a believer and they're just on fire and they're running at 110 miles an hour, just sprinting all the time. And not getting the teaching, both of which are equally as unhealthy. When we recognize our spiritual gifts, we recognize that even though we're gifted in these areas, it's really easy for us to also falter in that because of where we are, or because of how fast we're going, or because of our lack of awareness of what we should be doing, or what we should be knowing, or the lack of having others around us that are helping us steer. When we talk about glorifying God with our gifts, we should constantly be asking ourselves, God, I'm serving in this area. Is that where you want me? It's an odd thought of submission. Instead of saying, God, I'm going to serve in here until I move up the ranks. God, I'm going to serve and I want to be leader of this someday. I want to be doing this. God, no, am I really in the spot you want me to be? We should constantly be in that conversation with God to say, am I, Lord, doing what you want me to do? Or am I doing what's comfortable? Am I doing what's easy? And not only to glorify him, because it's easy for us to get in the own way of that, but also to edify the church that he has created. He's called us to build up believers, to create this foundation. The church is a place where people should come and not just feel like they're just getting good teaching, but where people should come and be part of a community. And not just this church's community or that church's community, but a body of believers. It says we're the body of Christ, that we are to be his hands and his feet, that we are active and living, a component of God's church. We're called to edify, to lift up. And it's interesting because if we evaluate how the world does this, the world actually flips this. It says, no, you gotta get yourself really good first. You need to graduate. You need to get a degree. You need to be the best of the best so that then you can work there or you can serve there or you can do that. Where Jesus takes that and he flips it upside down. And we see over and over in the New Testament as we watch how Jesus interacts with people, he's not looking for the most qualified to do everything. He doesn't go to every synagogue first and ask for disciples. He goes down to the water and starts asking some fishermen. He goes and asks a tax collector who's the last person that should be a disciple. When we recognize that Jesus, and when we look at the service of glorifying God and edifying his church, we are surprised as we read our Bibles at who God chooses. Even in the Old Testament, we look and we see Moses, who Moses says, God, don't use me. I can't even talk well. But your will be done, God. And he continues on. We have to recognize that as we look through the Bible stories, the heroes of the faith were not the best of the best, but they were equipped by God and they were humble and said, okay, God, if you're going to use me, let's do it. It doesn't change from the Old Testament or even the New Testament or even 2,000 years later till now. It doesn't change. The Bible is the Bible is the Bible. And we need to recognize as we serve here, as we are sitting here at Faith Community Church, that God has gifted you in a way that you can serve in a way that's going to glorify him either here in the church, somewhere in the community, wherever God has placed you. The Bible says we are called to bloom where we're planted. That's kind of my story. I was never, if you would have asked me as a kid, I would have never told you I was going to be a pastor. I was probably going to be a criminal. I wanted to join the army. I wanted to be like a Marine, a Force Recon Marine, like kicking doors in and putting explosives on things because it seemed cool. And I remember in high school I was a drummer, and I thought I was the coolest person on earth because I could drum. And I joined a worship team because I wanted to drum. And they said, well, we already have a drummer. Can you sing? And I didn't want to ever do that, but my brother and sister were there, so I did it. And then they said, well, could you learn guitar? And I said, okay, I'll try. And so I figured out how to play guitar. Because of that, that man building into me and asking me to serve in that area, which I was indignant and mean and not as a little kid, God has moved me then to a youth group where they said, hey, we just need a worship leader. Can you help? Right? When I was overseas, I got to Afghanistan. Within a month, they said, hey, the worship leader just left. Can you help? And as I look back at the way God calls us to serve, I never once was just leaning into that and saying, God, please, 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 please make me a pastor. And it was actually usually the opposite. God, please, if this is not the door you want me to go through, shut it. But he continued to press, and I just continued to say, okay, God, if you're going to continue to open these doors, it is foolish for me to not walk through these. I went back to college. I can promise you I'm not a college student. You've probably figured that out already. But I went, and it was not the smartest route of anything to do, but it was just a continual provision of saying, God, I will do what you ask. Where are you leading me next? I am so honored and blessed to be able to do the job that I do, but it's clearly because all I did was just say, God, I trust you. I'm going to follow you wherever I go. And in tremendous ways, I grew and I was equipped. I was not the best material for any of these jobs, but I was willing and able, and God said, I can get you there. It's an interesting place to be because when you're serving in that area, God shows up so much because you sit there and go, God, why did you even bring me here? I should not be sitting here talking to this family. I should not be here walking this child through to a relationship with Christ. God, I should be turning wrenches in Manawa. But Lord, you've allowed this. God opens the doors so many times in our lives. We just have to allow ourselves to be willing and teachable, to wake up every morning and say, okay, God, if you've given me breath in my lungs, what am I going to do with it? We're in service as a church. We will use our gifts of the Holy Spirit has given us to glorify and edify His church. The second thing is that we are called, we will, in service, we will test everything and hold fast to what is good. You can turn to 1 Thessalonians. If you don't know where that is, just keep going right. You'll find it. Sorry. This thing is just, I'm not a huge fan of lapel mics, but Josh likes them. All right. 1 Thessalonians in 5:21. This is a small one. But test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from evil. Abstain from every form of evil. That's verse 22 as well. We're called to test everything. I'm constantly teaching this to the children when we teach. Ask questions. There's never a bad question. If we don't know something from the Bible, ask. Dig in. Seek it out. If you have a question, find somebody that knows. Ask a pastor. The good thing that God does is He gives us a spirit of inquisition that causes us to say, I want to know more. When I became a believer, I said, okay, if I'm going to genuinely give my life to Christ, I should probably know who Christ is that I'm giving my life to. And I just poured through the scriptures. We're called to test everything. It's serving by guarding doctrine, by knowing what you know so you can do what you do. It's recognizing that as you're serving and as you're doing, God's going to use you in magnificent ways. If you're serving in our kitchen ministry, there's going to be a point where someone's going to walk in and want to talk to you. And it's knowing our doctrine and actually allowing the Lord to work in us and through us that you will have some amazing conversations. So why do we test the scriptures? I love that it says, if you look just slightly before that, if you still have your Bibles open in verse 19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. I love that phrase out. If you know what quenching is, it means to put the fire out. Is the best way I can describe it to you. And as Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, he's saying, do not quench the spirit. Do not allow your fire to go out. Instead, continue to ask questions. Because if you are unsure about something, the Bible is the ultimate truth. It will show you a clear and vivid image of what you need to know as a believer. It's God's love letter to us to show us everything that we need to know about Him and everything that we can know about Him. And we understand that when it says, do not allow your fire to go out, it understands that there is an enemy among us. I tell this to the students all the time. There's three things that Satan does. Does anybody know what it is? Any kids in here? Hey, what are three things Satan does? Kill, steal, and destroy. That's my kids, so don't think that it's something amazing. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he comes to do. He's not trying to win your heart. He's not trying to win you over. He's not trying to get you anywhere near him. All he wants to do is get you away from God. And when it comes to being a Christian and being in service, we have to recognize that there is an active enemy that doesn't want us working for God. And he's going to do whatever it takes to quench you. How does he do this? He does this in our doubt. The amount of times that I sat there and said, I am not qualified for this. God, use me. And just sitting there going, why am I in this room, God? Why have you brought me here? In our doubt, it is quenched. In our indifference, I'm not sure. Is that true? Is that real? When we reject God is when this happens as well. And lastly, as I was thinking through this, it's when we focus on others, which I think is such a big one. Why is that person's youth ministry so much bigger than mine? Well, why is that person able to sing so well and I can only, or how come they can play guitar better than I can? Or fill in the blank for your life. When it comes to service, one of the biggest things that quenches our fire or our spirit of service is recognizing there's other people that do it well. And it scares us, and Satan uses that to steal our joy that we would get from serving the Lord. Another way that we do it is we draw attention to ourselves. And we get so consumed with what we're doing that we forget that God's working in us as well. That's why it's so important that we test everything. Why do I believe? Test it. Why do I serve? Test it. Why do I struggle with this, God? Test it. Test it with Scripture. And I really want to emphasize that because everything we need to do needs to be tested with Scripture. We live in a world today where it's just easy to find information, but not all that information is good. I grew up where the internet was kind of like the library. You went, but then you really quickly realized it was just a lot of op-eds and people's opinions. But now it's easier to listen to church than it is to read your Bible. It's easier to listen to a reel on Facebook because it's like, what, 30 seconds versus a 5-minute lesson. And we're statistically in a place where our technology has made our attention spans shorter than goldfish. I think ours are 7 minutes, goldfish are 8. And we live in this world where I say, I have a question about the Bible, I'm going to Google it. And I love the amount of people that I know that are believers and not believers that will text me and say, I was just watching a documentary on History Channel. Is this really what happened? No, that's not it at all. But it's interesting how we gather information and question that, test yourself on that. I love because as we look at Thessalonians, Paul is writing to Thessalonica after he's traveled to Thessalonica and he went to a place called Berea. The Bereans questioned everything. They're a very knowledgeable society. And Paul, as he gets to Berea, recognizes everything he was preaching on, they would go back to their Bibles and double check. Hey, this guy sounds really, he's saying a lot of stuff. Let's go make sure what he's saying is true. And Paul's writing after leaving Berea back to Thessalonica and saying, hey, you need to start thinking like the Bereans. Because I come up and preach, but it's not about what Paul says. It's everything the Bible says. Paul's just trying to be the best steward of what God has given him, a gift of teaching. And he says, you need to think more like the Bereans. You need to evaluate everything. You need to question everything. If that sounds fishy, question it. If it sounds too good to be true, question it. We are called to service, but our service needs to be also built on such a good foundation of God's word and nothing else. This gives us the ability to evaluate. It gives us ability to have wisdom. It gives us ability. It gives us another ability, though, as well, and that's willingness. We recognize willingness when we recognize that when we ask questions, we're going to get some pretty hard answers. That as we ask questions, God, do I really believe this? I'm going to dig in the Bible and find out. I remember sitting around with a group of college guys when I wasn't in college, and they were just a bunch of my old youth students, and we just sat down, and someone would ask a question, and Bibles flew open. And we were just, okay, what does it say inside? What does Paul say? What is this? And we were just flying through our Bibles trying to figure out, okay, what does the Word actually say on this? If you feel like you don't have people to do that with, I am sure if you just ask around, someone would be willing and would love to sit down and go through their Bible with you and just say, hey, what questions do you have? If you have questions and we have those prayer request cards, don't even do that. Send them to Pastor Josh at faithcommunitychurch.com. Josh Nelson, not me. Because he is much smarter than I am. But evaluate it. Test it. It gives your willingness, because when you are testing something, it means you care about something. It's so funny when you watch parents that are raising kids now, everything's tested. But it's easy for people to just blindly believe whatever the church tells them. I hope that somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, you were wrong. It happens more than you think. But I hope that you guys are testing what we're saying. As we talk about the covenant, you're testing it and saying, is that biblical or is that just some fun phraseology you want to use? The testing is our willingness and our commitment. Lastly, we want to submit to one another as individual members of one body of Christ, with Christ as our head. And that's going to be in Ephesians 5:1. Or not 5:1, 5:21. What's that up there? No, I'm just kidding. It just says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's half of a verse, but it's really succinct. And what we recognize is that when we come to service, who are you serving? I will tell you, I'll be the first to tell you, there's a lot of times in ministry where it feels really good to serve. And I know, and I've seen it in a lot of volunteers, that they're serving on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights and things like that. And it's a lot about what they need and not a lot about what the people need. And it's easy to get to a place where you're serving kids because you don't have grandkids to see. It's easy to get to a place where you're serving in a certain area because you're never able to do that. But we have to go back to the first point and recognize God has given us gifts, but it's not about what we do. It's about the head of the church. And so we serve our church by recognizing that Jesus is in charge. Everybody say that. Jesus is in charge. Just making sure you're still awake. Again, I do kids ministry, so I'm used to people not listening. But at least I know that if you repeat me, you heard a little bit. Jesus is in charge. He's the head. When it comes to reading scripture, I recognize that this is very similar to the military. As we talk about submitting, I was in the military for 8 years, believe it or not. And I know it doesn't look like it, but that was a long time ago. When we talk about submission, it makes total sense. It's interesting, though, because everybody in the army understands that submission isn't something that you're just born with, that you're made with. And as we look at, when it talks about Christ being the head of our church, the head of the church, the head of the body, when we break it down in this, we see that in the army they have these ranks. They have like general, colonel, and they have a bunch of other things like that. You don't need to know about all of them, but there's high ranks and there's low ranks. And it's interesting when you really break it down, because as a unit, as you're doing things, what the high ranks say you do, as long as it's not illegal. Going back to the last point, test things, right? But as we look at this, if we're not coming from a military perspective, we miss that. And I'm not saying the church has levels and that there's sergeants out here and things like that. But what I'm saying is, when it talks about us and Jesus, that there is this distinct difference of recognizing that Christ is the head. That we take our orders from the Lord. That when we submit, no matter what we know or what we don't know, we have a general that knows more. In the Army, it's funny because a lot of the times you get these super smart privates and they actually probably know more than the general. I've seen it. But guess what? They're still a private. It doesn't matter your character. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter anything. When you come at that rank, you are that rank. It's really funny because the first couple weeks of basic, now you add in this level of individuality. The Army is a very interesting place because everyone is an individual in the Army, and the goal of the Army is to make you not an individual. You want to be uniform. You want to be all kind of the same. And it's funny because, you know, you see these big parades and things like that, and they're all walking and stuff and doing all the stuff the Army does. It's really cool. But it's important to recognize that their first 3 weeks of basic training is mass punishment. If you mess up, everybody push up. If you mess up, everybody does sit-ups. If you mess up, and the goal is to recognize that if one person messes up, the whole team feels it. That even though we're all individuals, we're all unified, we're all part of the same body, we're all part of the same army. And as we're training and doing this, we need to recognize that when one person is falling or failing, it affects all of us. That when it comes to the mission we've been given, if there's someone that's weaker, we need to help them succeed. If there's someone also that's ahead of the game, they need to turn around and start helping out. That it's parts of the body that as they fail, the rest of the body feels it. I talked to a chiropractor one day who said, I walked wrong. And he said, because you walk wrong, your knees hurt. And because you walk wrong and your knees hurt, your back hurts. And he said, because your back hurts, your neck hurts, and that's why you have a headache. And so we recognize that as the body, as we look at both in the military, as we look at just the body and the way it's built, when we talk about the body of Christ as the church, we recognize that when there's weak points that are failing, it affects the entire body. This is why it's so important, the Bible says, to submit to one another as individual members. That we recognize that we're still under rank, but we also recognize that we are part of the same team. That it's easy now to get into a place where we say, well, I'm serving, and they're not serving, so I must be doing more. But that's not the way it's designed. We're all the same rank. We're all privates in the same army. We're all at the same spot where we have a general, and we're all together, working together to make this work. And not everyone's at the same place that you are, but we're unified. We're united, and it's not based off of value or ability. It's based off of Jesus. Jesus is the head. We are called to submit to him. His character is perfect, and he has the authority. He has the authority that as he hung on a cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he's not talking about the few people in front of him or the people in the back laughing. He's talking about us today. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He's talking about those that are not here this morning, those that don't even know him, those that are actively rejecting him. Father, forgive them. And that is a general I want to follow. That as I look at my role in the body, I want to do my best, not just to make myself stand out or to be better or to be bigger than anybody else. I kind of like being the other Josh. Our goal should never, ever be to make ourselves better than anybody else, but it should always be to serve Jesus the best we can with the gifts that only he has given us and with the understanding that it is only him is why I can do any of this, that why I have breath in my lungs is because of him, why I can stand up here and preach is because of him. Why, when I was a mechanic, I was still sharing the gospel with people and still meeting with kids for Bible studies. It is important to recognize that as the body of Christ, we are all working together in this. But at the same time, we're all individuals. The church is not designed to make everyone look the same. I personally would love to come in here in work clothes and a hat and just kind of stink a little bit. That's the way I usually look if I'm not here on a Sunday morning. But I just love that. I love when I got tattoos when I was in the Army, I said, I want to get sleeves, and I always want to get sleeves, but I'm like, that's the most selfish thing on earth. Who would get sleeves and cover their body in tattoos? And then I realized, if I can get sleeves that share the gospel, That every little part of it shares something about the Bible. That when someone says, hey, why does that say that? I can say, oh, well, actually, let me tell you something. And I recognize, hey, I can do this and bring all the glory and honor to God. And it's so funny because when I did it, that was back when tattoos weren't like normal. And so you'd get these, I always like to call them blue hair ladies, sorry. But you get these ladies that would just browbeat you from across the room. And then all of a sudden they'd realize that it says Jesus in big letters, and they'd be like, hey, I like your tattoos. It's interesting when we evaluate how God uses even the smallest things. God has gifted us in a way that is so incredibly unique. Again, he created you as a masterpiece. If you were sitting here this morning and saying, I don't have anything to give, you are so wrong. And this is not a message to shame you into serving here at Faith Community Church. That's not at all what this is. This is a message to build you up to recognize that God has created you so unique that you can serve in a place that he's gifted you, and he will have you exactly where he wants you. And that there is a devil that is lying to you to say that you are not good enough yet. That there is that Satan only wants to steal the joy you'll get from that. He'll lie to you and to try to kill you from that joy and get you as far away from this place as possible. I love that he uses the word fear, and I'm running out of time, but Paul used the word fear constantly, and I used to wrestle with that. Why would we fear the Lord? I love the grace part of Jesus. I didn't like the fear part. But as a father, I start to understand that as much as I love my kids and as much as I care for my kids, they also recognize the mom says, hey, just wait till dad gets home. Carries a little more weight for some reason. And I don't know if it's just because I'm 5'10 and burly, but maybe they'll get bigger than me someday. But the reality is, as we look at our relationship with God, we understand that we have a God of authority. That if we have read through the Old Testament, we know we have a God of judgment. But that God with authority and judgment loves us so much and gives us gifts and creates us in a unique image and wonderfully fearfully and wonderfully made, we are the place where we recognize we are under the authority of the one true God. That it's the fear that we see in that causes us to love the fact that we can serve him. Because it says the gates of hell will not even stand up against him. And when it comes to us as a church, we want to be a church of love, a church that blesses. But we also want to be a church that serves, not just so we get the things moving here in the building. We want to be a church that serves downtown, a church that serves where you're working, a church that sees you and says, hey, there is something different in the way that you work here. And I love if we go back to the beginning when we look at Romans 12, it's only by the grace that we have been given. I think of in Luke 7, this story, I'm not going to have time to read the story, but the story of the woman who is just sobbing over Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair and pouring the nard jar over his head. And we see Jesus says, you didn't even do any of this stuff for me, but she has not stopped washing my feet with her hair since she walked in. Our service should not ever be anything other than what we start at the foot of Jesus. Because of the grace we've been given. And every day when we wake up, if we say, hey, I truly want to be the most effective person I can for Jesus, we should wake up, get on our knees, and say, I'm going to do everything today, Lord, from the foot of the cross. And I'm going to kneel at the foot of the cross, and Lord, today, use me. Because it's not my will, Lord, it's your will be done. Lord, it's no longer I that live, but it's you living in me. And if every decision we make out of that, whether you serve here at Faith Community Church or somewhere else, we are the body of Christ. And because of that, God is going to use us in magnificent ways. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, that we are not perfect. Yeah, that we are not perfect by a long shot, yet you use us. You created us. And God, you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. The Bible says no eye can see, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the plans you have for us. And God, they are great. Let us recognize that. Lord, I pray that you're stirring in the hearts of those that just have been longing for a while to get plugged in heaven. God, I pray that you're stirring in people's hearts a conversation maybe they want to have with a coworker. Lord, we know that you use the Spirit to stir in our lives where you want us to be. And God, we ask, Lord, that we can submit to you. And we love you. We lift all this up in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, thank you guys so much for coming. I'm sorry if I talk too fast. There's a ton of food and the kids are rushing to it, so you better hurry up.